Interface. Not the same questions, not the same answers.
Hello, I'm Brad Johnson, and welcome to Interface, an examination of Christian perspectives on theology, philosophy, ethics, and culture, with Adam Ayers, the pastor of Disciples Church in Costa Mesa, California, and the founder of the Stoa Foundation. Usually on Interface, our format is to get three or four people in the studio, pick the topic du jour, and wrestle it to the ground. Today, however, we're going to do something a little bit different and go to church. We're going to join Adam Ayers at Disciples Church, speaking on the irrational nature of the Christian life. He starts out his sermon by asking the congregation what some of their favorite movie scenes are. Since you're not going to be able to hear any of their answers, we're going to fast forward directly to Adam describing one of his favorite movie scenes.
I have one that I like. It's probably not my favorite, but it's one I like. Most people are familiar with it. It's in Raiders of the Lost Ark. I like it. Wait, you know when they're in the bazaar and the crowd parts and there's that guy with the big sword. He's like, blah, blah. He just goes. I love that scene. I just think that's so cool. Well, what I like about that is it's a funny scene because it illustrates this root truth about reality. Because most of the movie is so contrived. These big, huge battle scenes. And then there's this one where he's got a whip, but he's got a gun, you know? The guy, and you think there's going to be this huge battle, and then he just whacks him, which illustrates the truth. What? Never bring a knife to a gunfight. Right? Never bring a knife to a gunfight. That's the truth. It's like common sense. The guy's got a gun, don't bring a knife, because there's distance. It's a very simple problem here. It's the appropriate tool for the appropriate job. See? Somebody sent me the Darwin Awards this year. There's this one Darwin Award. It says these two guys from what state? Arkansas! Yes, two guys from Arkansas. My family's from Arkansas. Two guys from Arkansas said they had a truck wreck because they ran off the road. Why? When the .22 bullet that they had inserted in the fuse box, they had inserted this .22 shell, a rifle shell, in the fuse box because the fuse had burnt out. And it went off and it struck the driver in the left gonad. And they ran. They had been out frog gigging. And the lights wouldn't work, so they stuck a .22 in there. You know, not to mention that, like, perhaps you could remove the bullet first. There's too much electricity, burned out a fuse. Let's stick a rifle shell in there. You know, that'll fit. Duh. So if you use a bullet as a fuse, you know, it's probably going to heat up and go off. They didn't think about that, and the funny quote was that the guy's wife, when they told her that he was in the hospital having been shot, you know, and that they had run the car off the road, she asked, "Well, did anybody save the frogs?" Strange. If you use the wrong tool to do the job, you will end up with a mishap. Easily. If there's wood and you want to cut it, what do you use? Saw. Very good. Little test here. If you want to drive a nail in a piece of wood, what do you use? Hammer. If you want to clean a window, what might you use? Windex? Perhaps? A squeegee. Yes, very good. A towel? Simple. Very simple. If you are going to a gunfight, bring a gun. It would seem obvious. If you're going to a sword fight, bring a gun, yes. Yes. If you have a Bible, please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. After this, these are stories about King Jehoshaphat. Yes, he jumped. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Maonites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Did everybody know that there really was a King Jehoshaphat? Everyone goes, jumping Jehoshaphat, you know, but it's real. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is, En Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? Dost thou not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In thy hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Didst thou not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham thy friend? And they have dwelt in it, and have built thee in it a sanctuary for thy name, saying, If evil comes on us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house, and before thee, for thy name is in this house, and cry to thee in our affliction, and thou wilt hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming out to drive us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not execute judgment upon them? For we are powerless against this great multitude that is coming against us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Meanwhile, all the men of Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Anybody know what the sons of Asaph were? Anybody know who the sons of Asaph were? Who were they? They were what? They were musicians. Yeah, they were musicians. They were the temple musicians. In the midst of the assembly, and he said, Hearken all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, Fear not and be not dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not and be not dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy array as they went before the army and say, Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Now, what do you take to a sword fight? A gun, yes. In those days, if you don't have a gun, what do you take to a sword fight? A sword. Do you take a guitar to a sword fight? Do you take a harp to a sword fight? Do you take a set of drums to a sword fight? Perhaps a penny whistle? No. You take a harmonica? Yeah, harmonica would be good. And throw it at him real hard. You know, if I blow on it real hard, maybe he'll wince. And then I can hit him with the guitar. Hell, come on! You know? Right? Sorry. Well, that's the only person I can't date at the moment. But yeah. There's something illogical about this. This is irrational behavior. This is not common sense. This is the opposite of common sense. If you're going to a sword fight, you do not take musical instruments. You take pointy things. Okay? That's what you need to take. Sharp, pointy things with which you can, you know, poke people so that they will not poke you with their pointy things. Okay? That's what you take to a sword fight. This is silly. What I find is very funny is, who's the guy who gave the prophecy?
A musician.
A musician. Who you think was out there in the front?
Don't fear, trust the Lord. Really, really don't fear. Thank you, Lord, your mercy endures forever.
You know, it's like, woo-hoo. maybe was that the Lord? You know, if you were this musician, wouldn't you be thinking, was that the Lord? Was that the Lord? Was that pizza? You know, I hope this was the Lord. Because if it's not the Lord, what? You are toast. You are absolutely toast. He says, trust the Lord. And then Joshua goes, yeah, let's put the singers in the front. We'll know whether that's of the Lord, because if we have to step over their bodies, you know, that'll slow the enemy down. They have to run over. They'll get caught in all them instruments after they kill them. You know, we can run away. So what happens? Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them utterly. And when they had made an end of all the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. Then when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil from them, they found cattle in great numbers, goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Barakah, for there they blessed the Lord. It's called, Valley of Blessing, or Blessed Valley. Sounds like a retirement home, doesn't it? Welcome to Blessed Valley. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Barakah to this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. What would you do if you were going to take a walled city? What would you bring? A battle axe and a ladder. That'd be good. A ramming, yeah, like a ramrod. Yeah, some sort of a big tree. Little tiny rocks. No, see. Would you take maybe priests and march around it 7 times in silence and just hope the walls fall down? That's irrational, isn't it? If, say, you were being persecuted by the government, if the government sent a squad of 50 policemen to come get you, SWAT team, 50 policemen to come get you, and they were going to be arresting you because of some religious stuff that you were doing, what would you do? 50 SWAT team guys, you by yourself on a mountain, what would you do? What would you bring? What's that? Get a chair. A chair? Sit down and wait, because they're going to come get you. What would you bring? Start praying?
Dynamite.
Yeah, Swiss Family Robinson, coconuts filled with gunpowder. Get the pirates, get the pipes. Yeah. 2 Kings chapter 1, please. After the death of Ahab, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now Ahaziah, that's the king, fell through the lattice in his upper chamber in Samaria and lay sick. So he sent messengers telling them, go inquire of Beelzebub. Okay. By the way, that's a wrong thing to do, you know. If you're in trouble, do not inquire of Beelzebub, okay? The god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this sickness. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, is it because there's no god in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you've gone, but you shall surely die. So Elijah went. The messengers returned to the king, and he said to them, why have you returned? And they said to him, there came a man to meet us and said to us, go back to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, is it because there's no God in Israel that you're sending to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed to which you've gone, but shall surely die. Said, oh, it's easy. We got our answer. You dead. He said to them, what kind of man was he who came to meet you and told you these things? Answer him, he wore a garment of hair cloth with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it's Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 men with his 50. He went up to Elijah, who was sitting on the top of a hill, and said to him, "Oh, man of God, the king says, come down." But Elijah answered the captain of 50, "If I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50." Then fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. It's fun to put snap, crackle, pop into your morning. Again, the king sent the captain of again, the king sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up and he said to him, "Oh, man of God, this is the king's order. Come down quickly." But Elijah answered them, "If I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, the king sent the captain of a third 50 with his 50. 100 down, 50 to go. You see? And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and entreated him, "Oh, man of God, I pray you, let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Lo, fire came down from heaven and consumed the two former captains of 50 men with their 50s, but now let my life be precious in your sight." Then the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with him, don't be afraid of him." It's like, "Oh, really? Don't be afraid of him? We weren't, you know." It's like, so he arose and went down with him to the king and said to him, "Thus says the Lord." So now he goes down to the king and says to the king, "Thus says the Lord, because you've sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there's no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you've gone, but you shall surely die." So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken, and Jehoram, his brother, reigns in his stead. So what do you take to a knife fight? What do you take to 50 SWAT guys up to come and get you? Actually, 150. You take a chair, and you sit and wait till they come up, and then you call fire down from heaven to consume them. Very easy. Very easy. You know, no stress. Strange. Turn over, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 14. At this time, Israel was battling with the Philistines. We've rolled back the clock about 400 years from the last story. One day, Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let's go over the Philistine garrison on yonder side." He was from the south. But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree, which is at Migron. He's like, "I'm just hiding here under the pomegranate tree." The people who were with him were about 600 men, and Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people didn't know that Jonathan had gone. In the pass by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a rocky crag on the one side and a rocky crag on the other, and the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sineth. And one crag rose on the north in front of Michmash, and the other on the south in front of Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come on, let's go over the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." And his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that's in your mind. Behold, I'm with you. As is your mind, so is mine." Then said Jonathan, "Behold," now here's a great plan, "behold, we'll cross over to the men and we'll show ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we'll stand still in our place and we won't go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we'll go up to them. For the Lord has given them into our hand, and this shall be the sign for us." So what we'll do is there's this whole garrison of people. We'll walk up there and we'll go, "Bleh!" You know, have you ever seen Braveheart? And then if they say, "You ain't there, we're going to come get you," here's what we do. We wait there and they come up and get us. But if they say, "Hey, you come over here and we'll show you a thing or two," then we'll go over there and get them. What is not in this scenario? And this will be a sign for us, huh? Yeah, there's no option here for removing from the battle. We'll show ourselves to them. If they come over to us, we'll fight. And then if not, we'll go over to them and fight. And that'll be a sign that the Lord's going to deliver us. It's great. He's not a math major at all. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they hid themselves. Oh, my, my, look at the little rabbit with a yarmulke on." And the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan, his armor bearer, and said, "Come up to us, we'll show you a thing. You know, you showed yourself to us, we'll show you a thing back." And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed them after him. So he knocks them down, the armor bearer kills him. And at that first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men within, as it were, a half a furrow's length and an acre of land. And there was a panic among all the camp in the field and among all the people in the garrison, and even the raiders trembled. And the earth quaked, and it became a very great panic. If you're going up to fight a whole bunch of people, what do you bring with you? A whole bunch of people! Not just you! We've been covering over the last few weeks the idea of growing deeper in Christ. What these people knew is that what it takes to grow deeply in faith and in walk with the Lord is irrational obedience. Strange, crazy, wacko living. If you want to grow deep in the Lord, live irrationally. Why? Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm thankful that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the house of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are dying, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart. Where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your call, brethren, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what's foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what's weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what's low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He's the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it's written, let him who boasts, boast of the Lord. When I came to you, brethren, I didn't come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So if you want to grow deep in Christ, be an idiot, basically. Do you realize that judgment and wisdom militates against faith? Do you realize that safety militates against trust? If you seek safety, you are not seeking trust. If you seek to understand with your own reason the safe course for your life, you have said, I will excise the exercise of faith from my life. I will so order my life that I don't have to trust God for jack. Guess what? You aren't going to trust God for jack. And when the real trials come, you're going to go, where is the deep faith I need? Easy. It's in your retirement plan. Go get it and rely on it. Because that's what you've been relying on for 30 years. If you trust your wisdom, upon what will you lean when it comes down? Your ability to figure it out, that's what you will have, because that's what you will have invested in. If you want to grow in Christ, learn to be irrational and obey him foolishly. If you're going to go to the ocean, what do you bring? A boat! You don't just walk on it. Unless you go, is it you, Lord? If it's you, just have me walk out on it. That is the stupidest thing you could possibly do, especially when you can't swim and it's in the middle of a storm. Unless you want to grow, then you will do what the Lord compels you to do, just in trust. Well, what if it doesn't turn out the way I thought? Then you'll learn too. Do you trust? Do you not trust? Either this is a spiritual reality or it's not. Do we believe what we say? Do we believe that this is a spiritual reality? Do we believe that we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world?
Do you believe that you are primarily a spiritual being? Do you believe that this is primarily a spiritual reality? If so, live that way. Do you realize your wrestling is not against flesh and blood? Your problems are not physical problems. What do you spend most time worrying about? What do you spend most of your effort correcting? What do you bring to a financial crisis? Money. You don't bring a harp. You don't bring prayer. What do you bring to a career? Experience. Not fasting. What a shame. The reality is, with Raiders of the Lost Ark, part of the wisdom of choosing your weapons is to choose the biggest one. What do you bring to a sword fight? You bring a gun. Do we believe that the spiritual reality is the stronger reality? Do not bring physical and rational solutions to a spiritual life. Bring the right ones and bring the biggest ones. That's the thing to do. So when the Assyrian appears at your door with 450,000, you fast and pray in sackcloth and ashes, and the Lord sends an angel and kills 185,000 of them. What do you bring to a SWAT team? A chair. Let's pray. Lord, show us how to live out spiritual lives. God, forgive us for our foolish reason and our ignorant rationality. Show us how to trust in you. Show us how to rely on you. Grant us lives of faith, we pray. In the name of Christ, amen.
We've been listening to Adam Ayers speaking at Disciples Church in Costa Mesa, California on the irrational nature of the Christian life. Thanks to our engineer, Chris Holowaty. We'd like to thank Media City Sound for helping to make Interface possible. And thanks to you for listening.